Good morning. I'm Paul Graham. Another edition of Talk to the Experts on Radio NL. Pleased to have back in the studio from Horizon Dental Clinic, Cindy Nagel. And if you were at McDonald Park yesterday, you saw Cindy and Angus there having a good time. How'd it go?
It was really great. It was hot, though. It's good weather, at least, for everybody. We had a great turnout, but very hot.
I didn't see the booth yesterday, but I did see a picture of the booth on your Facebook page. It's quite the little setup you have there.
Yeah, it's great. The Overlander Days is put on by the North Shore Business Improvement Association.
Right.
So they do so much of the work for us. Any business on the North Shore, any vendor can
go. You must know Steve Pahalo then.
Yes, we do. Steve's great, and his assistant is wonderful. They're really good to us. And they set up all of the little tents and the booths, and we just show up with the banners and the tables and the toys and all the fun stuff, and yeah.
Heavy on the toys, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You get a lot of kids around to your booth, don't you?
Yeah. We had another really successful round with the tooth game that Angus built last year. It's fun. It's like a carnival game, right?
Yeah.
There's teeth, and you throw a ball, and you try and knock them out. So, yeah, lots of fun with the kids. They have good aim, those kids.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
They'd be good with, what's that, Duncan Pool or Duncan?
Oh, gosh, maybe that's what we'll do next year. Oh, I like that plan.
Put Angus on the old board there. And
they'll probably want to dunk me.
Yeah, if it's as hot next year as it is this year.
It might not be so bad, yeah.
Yeah, it might not be so bad at all.
Do a dunk tank.
You know, in a past show a little while ago, Cindy, we talked about dental laser, and I understand you have a bit of an update to that. You've got something to pass along to us.
Yeah, well, at the end of July, Angus and I went down to California, and I spent a few days getting some advanced training on the laser, so I thought maybe we could talk about that a little bit. It was really fascinating. It was two intense days of, you know, hands-on training, fun stuff like that, but it's just, every time I learn something new about this laser, I just get so excited.
So what are you learning? The laser themselves, are they evolving to work differently or look differently? What's that all about?
It's kind of like a computer, you know. The lasers all started out as kind of big, clunky, weird-looking things, and they slowly streamlined them, made them prettier, made them lighter, made them easier. For this particular set of training, it's still the same laser that I had before. It's just that there were certain things that I didn't even realize it was capable of doing.
Oh, really? You didn't read the manual, huh? You're doing the guy thing.
I read the manual. Sure, I know. I knew how to do the cavities. I knew how to do the surgeries. But it's some of the stuff that, you know, these people have spent decades helping develop this tech. And so they've been the ones that have played with it and have been like, can it do this? Can it do this? What happens if we do this? And then they pass that knowledge on to us, and it's really, really cool.
Have you had a chance to use this new technology you've learned about?
I've been playing with it, yeah. Most of the stuff that was brand new for me, or at least a good update, had to do with the gum disease side of things.
Okay, that we've talked about a lot, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, and gum disease is so prevalent, and the traditional surgeries for gum disease can be really debilitating for a lot of people. You know, opening the gums, lots of stitches, lots of pain, tooth sensitivity, all these things. So I really focused my training on sort of streamlining my approach with the laser so that I can, you know, do a better job in less time.
And when you walk into your office, you even look more like Star Wars than you did before.
Exactly, yeah. Now I can use it for other stuff, too. And it was a lot of fun, some of the small things that they taught us. Like, for example, I have a scar on the back of my hand from a cooking accident. there's been a lot of research into laser tissue regeneration.
Okay.
So using the laser energy to stimulate your body to do things, to heal in ways that it never could before. And they were telling us that they've had successful removal of scars. So scars on lips or mouths or, you know, kind of the general facial area, that sort of thing. They've been, you know, using this tech on that. And so I said, well, you know, I've got this kind of gnarly scar in the back of my hand. What do you think it'll do? And so the dentist basically removed the scar from my hand with the laser. I didn't have any freezing or numbing at all.
Mm-hmm.
There was some sensation. Like, it didn't feel like nothing, but it didn't hurt either. It was bizarre. It's definitely, now that it's finally healing up, it's definitely shrunk. That's really? For sure. It's gone down by about a quarter of its size.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, for something that's big enough, I mean, a quarter difference after one treatment, that's a big deal. And if I can find somebody else, it's on my right hand, so I can't do it myself. But if I can get another treatment on it, it'll probably shrink it again and again and again until it's probably gone.
Wow.
So I'm excited about that. Other things that can remove, like moles, warts, you know, kind of some other gnarly things people don't like. So it's really cool.
Dental laser surgery, if I could use that terminology, Cindy, does it replace the needle?
Sometimes.
Really?
Yep.
I hate the needle.
A lot of people do. I don't like giving
that first,
it. So.
That first little prick, that's the one that
I
gets
know,
me.
For sure. You know, it's like anything else. I always tell people it's user-dependent, right? There's a lot of the soft tissue surgeries, especially on kids, that can be done without a needle. We'll use a lot of the time a very strong topical gel or a spray that will help numb the outside of the tissues. But,
okay.
I mean, here's something else that's probably pretty cool for people out there. I had a patient come into the office with, I think he was 3 weeks old, a baby.
Wow.
3 weeks old. And she was having trouble breastfeeding because his lip was tied down. You know, the muscle attachment of the lip was too far towards his gums and he couldn't latch on properly and breastfeed. So she asked me if I could do something about it. So, you know, I looked at the little guy and he was so tiny. And I said, well, I can't freeze him. He's probably going to cry. He's already crying because he's hungry, poor thing. So, you know, great parents, for starters. I mean, they held on to him for me, helped me with that, and I used the laser, and I think within, like, less than a minute, I had removed that muscle attachment. She had him latched on, and she was already feeling better.
Wow.
And it was awesome.
Well, you had to feel pretty good about it, too.
I did. At first, I was a little hesitant. I was like, this is a three-week-old baby. Like, this is a little bit young for me.
Is this just a little bit out of...
this is a smidge out of my comfort zone. Yeah. But, you know, once I saw him, and I mean, the parents were wonderful. You know, they knew that he was going to be a bit upset, so they weren't going to be upset with me if he cried, you know. They weren't babying the baby. They know he's not going to remember it. So, you know, they let me do my thing, and I hope that I made a big difference. They actually went off on vacation right after that, so I haven't heard back to see how
it's
been.
Yeah, you have to make sure and do a little bit of follow-up on that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's so cool.
What about the kids now? You really do like to cater to the children, and, you know, school's back in pretty soon.
It is.
I guess the kids, when they see all these toys you have in that room with the lasers and everything else you have in there, they must think they're sitting in a starship or something like that.
I think sometimes they do. A lot of kids... you know what's funny is what they seem to fixate on is the delivery system where the dental handpieces are. So there's, you know, where I reach for my drills, right? My
stuff on the
syringe
tray.
Stuff. It's not in a tray, but it's hooked onto the chair, and there's these tubes that go to it, and it feeds the air to and water through the tubes, right? They are so fixated on those things. They always want to know, what is that? They want to pull on them. They want to play with them. They want to touch them.
Don't put a Brad Nailer there, okay?
No, definitely not. But I mean, like, I'm like, look, I have a cool laser. And they're like, look, weird tube things. And well, sure, you want to play with those tubes? I can show you anything.
Keep your minds occupied on something else and as to opposed to what you're doing.
Yeah, well, and the TV helps too. Having that TV on the ceiling is my saving grace.
Holy cow, what don't you have in that room?
Not much. I'll be honest, not much. We
isn't
didn't,
that great?
We didn't cheap out.
I'll bet you the seniors, because you are in an elderly section of Kamloops, and you do have a lot of seniors who are patients of yours. I bet you they get a kick out of some of this stuff, too.
Oh, they do. They love it. The seniors are the biggest fans of the nature shows on the TV, too.
Yeah.
They just love to sit there, and they'll watch the nature shows. And they like, you know, like a lot of seniors will get cavities along their gum line, right, on their teeth, things, areas like that. I can do fillings like that without, you know, with just the laser, stuff like that. And it's nice for them, too. The same thing goes with their health, right? I mean, if I'm adding anesthetic or other stresses, then it can be a little debilitating on their health. I mean, it can be an all-day thing for them to start to feel better after just a routine dental appointment. So anything I can do to make people more comfortable is just anything I want to do.
I'm just envisioning in my mind a senior in your chair, you're doing some work in their mouth, and there's a really great nature program on, and you say, well, I'm done, we got to move on. What do you mean you're done? There's still a few more minutes to go yet.
Yeah, it's true. Most people don't get to finish their show.
Dr. Cindy Nagel in the studio this morning on Talk to the Experts, Horizon Dental Clinic. Oh, by the way, you're coming up to a year now, eh?
Yeah.
Out there in Brock.
September 21st.
Holy cow.
Happy anniversary.
To you. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Nagel right after this on Radio NL. Welcome back to this edition of Talk to the Experts. I'm Paul Graham. Dr. Cindy Nagel back in the studio. She's in here every month, of course, with Horizon Dental Clinic. Something I've never mentioned to the listeners, Cindy, since you and I got together about a year ago here, doing this regularly on a monthly basis. You wear or did wear braces.
Yes, I did.
For quite a while. And I see the braces are finally gone.
I am recently freed of them.
We have never discussed braces. Let's take it right from the beginning. Why do people wear braces, or why they are they suggested to wear braces?
Lots of different reasons. Functional versus aesthetic is really the two basics, right? You either have a problem with the way your teeth fit together, and then you can't chew properly, your jaw can't function properly, which often causes pain, which was my problem. Or the aesthetic part of it. You might have a tooth that's pointing out in the wrong direction, or you don't really like it. You have spaces, you have crowding, one of the two. And you know, for that visual appeal, you might want to get that changed.
So, the braces align teeth. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes, more or less. They can tip teeth. They can translate teeth, which means moving the tooth that's inside the bone as well as the tooth that's outside the bone. They can bring teeth out of the jawbone. They can push teeth forward into the jawbone. They can do all kinds of fun stuff.
So, are there different kinds of braces then?
Definitely. Yep.
So one brace doesn't do all the whole nine yards?
Not really. I mean, there's different approaches. There's different things that you might need in order to get a job done. It really depends on the case. Traditional braces are, you know, those sets of brackets, the metal pieces that are, you know, glued onto
the
teeth.
Like the ones you had?
Just like the ones that I had. And okay. Then you have the wire that goes through them, and the wire is hooked in with elastics or some such thing. And over time, the brackets are placed in a way so that when the wire is put into the brackets, the wire will... It's made of a metal that wants to stay a certain shape, right? It's a nickel titanium. So you might have to bend the wire funny to stick it in the brackets, but that wire is always going to want to go back to its original shape.
Okay.
And that's how it moves the teeth
memory
into
wire.
That shape. Yes.
I like that.
It is memory wire. That's the stuff.
Okay, so you said you wore braces because it hurt your mouth to eat.
Functional, yeah. I was kind of grinding my teeth a bit, you know, high stress and dental school, all these things. And
yeah.
I kind of ground down a couple into a position where my jaw didn't really feel like it fit very well together. And I was having a lot of issues with grinding. A lot of it was stress related. So I really had to do my own self-care and try and do some stress management to take care of that. But I actually tried to go through a set of braces called Invisalign before I actually got my brackets placed last year. So with the Invisalign, this is actually a really neat system that's kind of newer, but it's been around for quite a while. It's a tray system. So what they do with the tray system is they'll scan your mouth, they'll scan your teeth. So we take molds of your teeth, we mail them to a company, and they scan them, and then they do a computer mock-up of the teeth, and they use the computer to digitally move the teeth into the position that the dentist or the orthodontist thinks is appropriate. So that they fit together.
Wow.
And it's really cool. I love it because you can actually watch the tooth movements. Like, you can go through the stages of treatment and it'll show you, like, this tooth is twisting this way and this one's moving over here and this is coming down, and all of a sudden they look great and they fit well and it's beautiful. And then when they have all of that, then they digitally print, like they CAD CAM or 3D print these trays, these clear trays that, you know, you basically wear for however long you have to wear them. You usually get new trays every 2 weeks. And that each tray is shaped slightly differently to get your teeth to move in a certain direction. And the Invisalign is awesome because you can't see it's there. You won't know it's there unless you try, unless you know.
Yeah.
You can't see it. It's really easy to clean. So instead of getting the floss and having to thread it through all those wiry bits and all this stuff, you just take them out. You just brush your teeth.
Wow.
And put them back in. They're awesome. But you really have to have the right person doing the treatment, because the people that are doing the computer mock-up are not dentists. They're techs. They don't know anything about teeth. They just know what their, you know, manual has told them, their text. So if you don't have the right person, you know, dictating that treatment and telling those techs what they want, then you can kind of end up in a bad situation. And that's sort of what happened to me. I ended up in a position where my teeth were worse than when I started.
Wow.
And that was distressing, especially for someone in my profession. I'd gone through that. I'd paid for that treatment. And I was, you know, I was disappointed. And especially being a dentist already myself at that point, I was like, I'm disappointed I didn't know better. You know, I felt bad about that. So, but a lot of good came from it because I ended up getting everything corrected with regular braces, which was a great experience, and it's really motivated me to learn a lot more about Invisalign.
Now, as these braces are working in your mouth, is it painful at all or discomfort?
Yep. Yeah, they hurt.
Yeah, they do,
eh? They do. They don't hurt for long, and it really depends on how much movement you're trying to get out of the teeth. Typically, the movements are very, very small, right? We're talking like millimeters at most. Like, I think you get about 1 millimeter of movement every 4 weeks is safe.
Well,
so
still quite a bit.
It is quite a bit for, like, when you think about how tiny the tooth is.
Yeah.
So for the first couple of days after your braces are adjusted or your new Invisalign trays are put in, your teeth are going to ache a bit. It's going to feel tight. It's going to feel tense. It's going to feel tender. But that typically passes within a few days, and then you just go back to normal.
Yeah, you just get used to it.
Yeah, you get used to it. The pressure kind of lets up a little bit. The tissues start to relax. The teeth start to move, and then there's a lot less pressure there. I found it very, very tolerable. But I had very minor orthodontia as well, so
yeah.
I don't want to go out there and say that it wasn't a big deal, but some people that might have teeth in some pretty wonky places might disagree with me a little bit on that point.
I'm thinking a dentist such as yourself may recommend braces for your patient.
I do all the time.
Yeah, and the patient may say, well, I'll look funny.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of self-conscious there.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, well, again, you know, being the dentist walking around with a mouthful of brackets, it made me look like, you know, 10 years younger than I am. And I'm already a fairly young person, so that was a little bit of a contentious point, you know. A lot of people don't want to feel like their dentist is a child, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's uncomfortable speaking. I was lisping for quite a while because it takes a while.
I never thought of that. You must have to learn how to talk all over again.
Yeah, I was completely lisping for the first 2 weeks. It was definitely a challenge. So I get where people come from when they don't like the look of that. But there's options, too. You can get braces that go on the tongue side of your teeth instead of the front side.
Okay.
It's weird and not very many people do it, but it's possible. Or, again, the Invisalign, which, with the right practitioner, works beautifully.
Wow.
And then nobody sees anything. You don't have all that hardware in there. Like I said, easy to clean. It's really actually a lot more comfortable.
Well, I've seen the braces you were wearing for a very long time, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking to myself, after every meal, you must have to brush. I mean, we're talking maintenance here.
It's not just brushing. You have to get in there with the picks, and you have to push the food out of the tiny little spots, and then you end up with spaces between your teeth, and all of a sudden you're like, why are there spaces there? And then you have to go get the floss, and yeah, fun.
Now, they must come loose as the teeth are getting to where you want them, right?
No. No, everything stays pretty snug. I didn't really notice any sense of loosening. I mean, like the brackets especially, like they're on the teeth. So they're not going to come off unless the pressure that's placed on them is actually too excessive for the bond that's keeping them there. And that would be, that happens quite a bit along the road.
I've heard of brace tightening. What is that?
That's when a new wire is placed. That's okay. When they take a new wire that's a different size or a different shape, and they more or less tighten it by changing the type of wire that's in there.
And how long do braces stay in the mouth?
Depends on who you are. I, pretty minor orthodontia for me, and it took 9 months. Most people, on average, get about 2 years.
It takes that long, eh?
You can't move the teeth too fast. If you move the teeth too fast, especially in adults, kids are a little bit different. You can kind of play with it a bit. But what you're doing is creating an inflammatory process around the ligament and the bone that holds the tooth in place. When that happens, the side of the tooth that's pushing against the bone is going to start to eat away at the bone.
Oh, okay.
And then the bone on the other side has to start to grow in to follow the tooth. And that's how tooth movement goes. There's bone remodeling, right? It's like when you break your arm and it needs to grow back together, right? There's some bone loss and there's some bone gain. And eventually you get a total bone gain, but the tooth is in a different place. So if you try to move teeth too quickly, especially in adults, you can shorten the roots on teeth. So instead of the bone changing, the tooth will change instead, which we don't want because then they might get loose. Or you can create a lot of inflammation or make a periodontal, a gum disease case worse, things like that. So especially in adults, you have to really be willing to take your time with it. With kids, like I said, you can have a little bit more leeway because they're growing anyway, so their body is more likely to respond to that appropriately.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of weird stuff that can happen. I always tell people, teeth are stupid. You never know what's going to happen.
Teeth are stupid.
They are stupid.
Now, you're a dentist. Do you do this or do you have a specialist put these on?
I do Invisalign. So, again, the clear trays. And of course I can't do my own braces, but anytime that something needs to be bonded onto the teeth, anytime someone needs full orthodontics or something that's kind of a more advanced case, like I prefer to do things that are fairly simple, right? Something
right.
that I know I can predict. If it's especially in kids where, they don't have all their teeth in yet or something's in a really weird place, I love to refer. We have really wonderful specialists here in Kamloops. We're really lucky. We have three of the best orthodontists that I've ever had the pleasure of working with.
What did it feel like after 9 months to get those suckers off?
I never thought I'd say it, but my teeth felt too smooth. They felt too clean. They still feel too clean.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Dr. Cindy Nagel, Horizon Dental Clinic in the studio. We still have another segment to go. Are you all ready?
Yeah.
And we'll do that when we come back on Radio NL. I'm Paul Graham. Welcome back to this edition of Talk to the Experts. Dr. Cindy Nagel in the studio, Horizon Dental Clinic out there in Brock. And I kind of said it when we started off, Cindy. Congratulations. You're now coming up to your first year of being in business as a dentist.
Yes.
Out there in Brock. And boy, how time flies, huh?
Yeah, the year has gone by faster than I ever could have imagined.
Let's go back to the very beginning. You went through all this schooling. You did the hospital thing in Calgary. You went to McGill. You got 1,800 pieces of paper.
Which I've added to since you've been there, by the way.
And I was very fortunate to attend your opening a year ago. It's September what? What's the anniversary date?
September 21st.
Okay, September 21st. Around that time last year, I was impressed. I talked with your business manager, Angus Glasgow, at great length as to what your plans were, how did this evolve, and that kind of thing. And what I thought was very interesting before you opened your doors or even threw a shingle up, you actually pulled out a map and you looked around to see where all the different dental clinics were in Kamloops.
Yeah.
And this kind of helped you decide where you are today.
Yeah, well, Angus is a businessman, and that was his first thought was, where's a good place in Kamloops to put a dental clinic? Let's find out where all the other dentists are. Wow, there's none over here in Brock. We like Brock. Cindy grew up in Brock. Maybe we should go look at Brock. It was great.
No, and it's such a wonderful environment that you've created for yourself. Talk about opening those doors for the very first time and take us up to today.
Well, our opening day was a little stressful, I'm not going to lie, because we were originally supposed to be open in July.
You guys weren't even finished in the construction department yet.
Exactly, and that's the thing. We were supposed to open the doors in July, and then it ended up being September, because construction is construction. And then we had patients lined up. We were booking this the end of September, and all of a sudden the contractors came to us and said, we're not going to be finished by September 21st. And Angus had to put on his his business hat there, and he had to tell them, well, we're seeing patients that day, so get everything ready so that we can, and everything else is just going to have to be done, on days off, after hours, all of these sorts of things.
Right.
So our contractors really did come through for us. They really did their best. It wasn't their fault. A lot of the things that came up, there were just,
well, they're dependent
issues.
On suppliers and stuff.
Exactly, yeah. So we were waiting on a lot of things. Some of the stuff had to be sourced out of the States, what have you, things like that. So, all in all, the team was great, and they really did try to accommodate us, and they did make it possible for me to actually see patients on September the 21st.
Isn't that great? Now, when you also started, there was you as the dentist, and I believe a receptionist.
Yes.
That was it, wasn't it?
I had an assistant and a hygienist as well, part-time.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were a staff of five, including Angus. Five. And then within 2 months, we had to hire somebody else.
Wow.
Because we had so many phone calls and so many people coming in the door that we needed a second receptionist. So that was our next hire. And then before we knew it, it was January, and we were getting so much positive feedback from the community that we had to make two more hires. And that's when we hired our second hygienist and another assistant for myself. And that's our team to date has stayed about the same since then, but we are looking to hire another hygienist in, I think, November, December.
Holy cow.
So we've really grown a lot faster than we thought. I mean, when we were first doing up our business plans, I didn't even think I'd have enough patients for a hygienist. I thought I was going to have to do my own teeth scaling, which I am, you know, more than happy to do. I'll admit I'm probably not as good as they are. I'm not going to lie. They do it every day,
right.
So that I don't have to, and they're so wonderful at what they do. So I'm glad that I can let them do the work that they do, and then I get to do the work that I do best. But I thought that I was going to be by myself for 6 months to a year, and here I am with a staff of eight, and we're not quite a year in.
How about the patient load? Did it take a while for you to catch on, or how did that work out?
I think for the first couple of months, like October, November, December last year, we were a little on the slower side. We were still keeping pace, but we really didn't start to grow until January. And then it just sort of exploded, and it's been keeping on track with that ever since. And I think a lot of that has to do with some of the marketing that we've done, some of the outside-the-box things that we do. So, you know, I get a lot of great feedback from people who listen to the show,
mm-hmm.
which I am so happy that I'm reaching people and that they find me interesting. And the word started to spread like that, and now we're getting a lot of organic growth as well from people telling other people about
us. The word of mouth thing.
Exactly.
Best advertising in the world.
Yeah, so word of mouth is getting
out
there
now.
As long as
it's all good.
And I think so far so good. I mean, I'm the first person to say I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but I will go the extra mile for anybody if I can.
Yeah, and over the year that you and I've known each other, I don't know how many times, two or three times, you always look to improve on your own skills and you look to improve on... what's new in dentistry, and you do that
yep.
regularly.
Anytime the clinic doors are shut, it's because I'm somewhere trying to learn something new. I just signed up for two more courses this November in Vancouver to upgrade some aesthetic dentistry skills, get some information about that, and the other one is actually a business one, so that'll be a little bit different for me.
You and business thinking?
A little bit. I mean, I need to know enough about it. It's about practice growth and things like that. You know, how to put your best foot forward in the business world. So
that's great. And I guess equipment evolves as well too, and that gets
yes.
costly. And so it must be a lot different now than what it was a year ago in your office.
Yeah, we've added lots of new equipment, lots of fun toys. I probably order something new and ridiculous every week because you know if I have any downtime, which is rare these days, you know. If I'm going through the catalogs, I will usually find something that I want to give a try.
Yeah.
And if I get the opportunity to do it, then I'm happy, and so is everybody else.
Well, it's medical equipment as well, and it must be fairly expensive.
Yeah.
And prohibitive too, I guess. So there's something you really want.
I can't have it.
It.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. Well, again, you know, a great example of that is, my laser is a hard soft tissue laser, but now I really want a diode because of all that biostimulation stuff that they're talking about, the healing thing, some of the other things that a diode laser, a different type of laser can do. Now I want one of those, but it's not worth the cost at this point in time for the small types of procedures that I want it for. So eventually when I have enough spare money sitting aside, then I'll treat myself to something.
Do all
like that.
Dentists go through this where there's a want or a need list, I guess?
I would assume so. I cannot be alone in that.
No.
Although I think as we get older in any kind of profession, I think you get used to the things that you're used to. And if you know you can do a good job with the equipment that you have, then, you know, because the cost is very prohibitive, you're more likely to maintain what you already have, which is not a bad thing either. I mean, if you can do good work and you're comfortable with that, then as long as it's the best work for your patients, then there's no problem with that.
You know, we talk about expense, and I remember when I was there a year ago spending a day with you and Angus. Angus was showing me one of your chairs, and
yeah.
I forget what the price was, but it looked really comfortable, but it was an expensive chair.
The operatory chairs, $15,000?
Holy cow.
Something like that? Yeah, it's ridiculous. But they are they hand-stitched? Yeah, they're hand-stitched. They're hand-stitched, so, you know, it's there's actually a ton of science that goes into the chair itself. It's tested beyond belief. It's actually really cool. They use a lot of weight-bearing stuff to make sure that it can handle different weights and that it's going to be comfortable for people in different, conditions or positions, things like that. So the R&D is there, and that's, again, why dental is so expensive, because there's so much research that goes into it. I mean, you even take, like, say, the filling materials that I have or whatever. It's cost those companies probably millions of dollars to develop those in the R&D, because they have to be tested, they have to be manipulated, they have to pass whatever rules they have to be allowed to be used on humans, and then you kind of go from there. So in a way, you have to pay for that somewhere along
yeah.
the way.
I just came across an interesting thought, in that we always hear how there's a doctor shortage
yeah.
in the province of BC. Is that applicable to dentists as well?
Depends on where you are.
Doctors too.
Depends on where you are. If you're in Vancouver, there's a lot of dentists, but it's Vancouver. It's a lot of people that become dentists. That live in a place like Vancouver because they're going to school, and then naturally kind of progress into living there and practicing there. It's a natural transition. It's harder to get dentists like myself out in rural communities, for sure. But even communities like Kamloops, we still, I believe, have something of a dentist shortage in town.
Really?
There are clinics that don't accept new patients because they're 100% saturated, which is, it's great. It gives me something to strive to.
Yeah. Cindy's open for business, folks.
You betcha.
Listen, I've had a lot of fun with this morning. I hope
Me
you
too.
Did.
Thank you.
How do people get a hold of you?
They can give us a call at 778-765-3928 or check out our website at www.horizondental.clinic.
And you do take new patients, right?
Absolutely. Bring them all.
Cindy, it's been a pleasure once again. I'll
Thank
see you
Paul.
In a month's time.
Absolutely.
Dr. Cindy Nagel from Horizon Dental Clinic, celebrating their first anniversary in Brock. Isn't that great? Listen, you know, if you missed part of the show this morning, you can get the whole thing on our website, RadioNL.com. Top of the homepage, just click on Audio Vault, then just follow the links from there. That's it for this edition of Talk to the Experts. Have yourself a super day.